Well, to date, it's still legal to address the topic that I'm going to address this morning. If I were to preach this in Canada, they would deport me, but if I was a preacher in Canada, they would fine me or jail me. So we're going to go over some things. I've called this the spiritual devolution of man. Instead of evolution, they can talk about man going upwards. I'm talking about man going downwards. You could call it the degeneration of man if you want to. And my context is Romans chapter 1. So you can get your Bibles open to Romans chapter 1, though I won't come there for a brief time. But I do want to have you turn there so we can be ready to do it. Every time I go to London, I try and make a visit to the Westminster Abbey or the Westminster Cathedral that is there in London. And if I get a chance, the last time I couldn't, but if I get a chance, I try and walk on Darwin's grave, literally. He's buried in Westminster Cathedral there, but Charles Robert Darwin was born in England, in Shrewsbury, a long time back, February 12th of 1809. Darwin's family was a rich family. He was the fifth child of this rich family. And any of you happen to have any Wedgwood china? Any of you have? Okay, some of you have Wedgwood china. All right, we have some Wedgwood china as well, a little bit of it. But Darwin's maternal, or on his mother's side, grandfather, was the successful pottery entrepreneur Josiah Wedgwood, and of Wedgwood pottery fame, of Wedgwood china fame. After Darwin graduated from his very uppity school in Shrewsbury in 1825, he went to Edinburgh University. I know it looks like Edinburgh, but they don't pronounce it that way. If you go to Scotland and call it Edinburgh, they'll know for sure you're from America or some other place. But he was going to study medicine. He was going to be a doctor. But in 1827, he dropped out of medical school and he went to Cambridge University, oddly enough, to prepare to be a clergyman in the Anglican Church. He dropped out of that as well. You could legitimately say Darwin was a dropout. He left off his studies and became a naturalist, and he took a trip on the Beagle. That ship's kind of a dog, but anyway. And he went to the Galapagos Islands. And he did started studying the variety in finches. Now, I want to tell you something. There is no problem with microevolution, evolution within species. I mean, you started out, God created two dogs. And now through breeding of strengths and weaknesses, we have a variety of dogs. That's not evolution like evolution between a species. My grandfather, and I still have the seeds, and I haven't had a chance to grow them. My grandfather developed a hybrid of a tomato called the Orleans Giant, and they are huge acid-free tomatoes, and yet they're tomatoes. You got cherry tomatoes, and you got huge tomatoes. That's not evolution, so to speak, because it's the same species. I mean, so that's not the deal. But anyhow, Charles Darwin, and he has a history of it, Erasmus Darwin, even his grandfather, he had weird views and rejected biblical creation, but he followed his grandfather and rejected the biblical account of creation. And so he completed his theory, which, by the way, has been rejected by nearly all evolutionists today who are honest about it. But he completed his theory of evolution, published it in 1859, called On the Origin of Species. On the Origin of Species. Well, problem is that people wanted to be in the know. I mean, Darwin was held in high esteem and looked at as being a great educated man when he's really a dropout, and began to hold to Darwin's theory of evolution. And it took, in the late 1800s, it really took on in society. And you can even see some of the notes reflected in some of the clergyman's sermons of the era that were even Bible-believing clergymen. And it certainly caused a great deal of problem, because what happens is it brings man from being, you know, created in the image and the likeness of God. If you believe evolution, you know what you are? You're a high-functioning animal. Well, you're above a dog, but probably not above a porpoise. They're supposed to be real smart. But that's what evolution does. It makes you just a high-functioning animal. You don't have an eternal soul. So millions of people have adopted that. However, I hold a completely different view. Of course, I hold to the biblical creation account, but I think in Romans chapter 1 that we're going to be looking at, it teaches us of the degeneration, or if you want to call it the devolution of man, playing on evolution. Devolution means man going backwards or whatever. And I'm looking at Romans chapter 1, verse 20 through 32, and I'm just going to read Romans 1, 20 through 32. It says, "For the invisible things from him, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves." And I want you to see this, professing themselves. Other people didn't make it, but professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds. I just think of walking through the Cairo Museum. You know, the Egyptians, you know what they worship? They worship birds and bugs. Animals, cats, yes, cats. I can see worshiping a bug, but a cat, well, no, I can't see worshiping either of them, but anyway, I just get my cat friends all upset. That's okay. Birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. It says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lusts one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which is meet or right. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." In Canada, that could get you thrown in jail, just reading that. We need to pray for the Canadians and for the preachers who have the grit to preach the truth. Well, here's what we're going to look at. We see that man in verses 18 through 22 moved from intelligence to ignorance. You know, man knows the truth about God. God has revealed himself to us in two very clear ways. Number one, conscience, and number two, creation. You know, our conscience tells us there is a God and he is to be obeyed. Look at verses 14 and 15 again. Romans 2, 14 and 15, it says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves." It says, "Which showeth the work of the law is written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness." All right, their conscience also bearing witness, and the thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. God has written his law in the minds of the people. Now, you know what's very interesting? Even in animistic cultures, do you realize that they have laws against murder? Why? Because they have no Bible, but you know what? It's written in their head. Do you know that you can be in big trouble for stealing in animistic and pagan cultures? Why? It's written in their head. It's written in their conscience. They don't have to have a Bible to know that certain things are wrong. And even in pagan animistic cultures, even when there's a plurality of wives, when Lynn and I were missionaries in Haiti, we had a gardener, and I got introduced to several different ladies who he introduced to me as his wife. So I began to inquire a little bit. He had three wives. Okay? But the point is if somebody were to mess with any one of those three wives, you could take vengeance on that. You know why? Written in their head is that, you know, you don't mess with somebody else's wife. You didn't have to have the scriptures to tell them that. So what I'm telling you is the Bible gives testimony to God in our conscience, but also, and not just in our conscience, but in creation. Creation shouts that there is an intelligent, powerful divine, designer who made all things. Turn with me to, you can hold your finger in Romans, turn with me to Psalm 19, 1 through 3. And you could probably, I probably don't even need to have you turn there, because once I start reading it, it's going to ring a bell right there. Psalm 19, beginning with verse 1. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament," or the skies. That's what the firmament is, the skies. "The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Whose voice? The heavens, the declarations of the heavens, the declarations of the skies. Nobody in their right mind looks up into the sky unless they have been corrupted somehow and say, "Wow, what a big bang made this." No. You realize that by design, when you see the results of a design, you understand that there was what? A designer. Okay? And so God says, hey, no excuse. Your conscience, I put my basic laws in your conscience. And besides that, I show you all this in creation. I like this kind of year. Linda and I have been bike riding, and on the bike path there's various flowers on the bike path, but I like looking at the black-eyed Susans, and there's a bunch of them that there's some that petals automatically droop down, and there's some petals that stand out, and there's but you look at the intricacy of some of the flowers and all that kind of stuff, and I never yet, even when I was a kid, said, "Wow, that took millions of years to evolve." Why? Because you recognize that behind such intricate designs there is a designer. Well, so what happens? The problem is that in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says they hold the truth in unrighteousness. If you get back to Romans chapter 1, 18, so what does man do with this knowledge that they have in their conscience and this knowledge which is seen in creation? In Romans chapter 1, 18, it says they hold the truth in unrighteousness. That is, they repress the truth and will not allow God and his truth to work in their lives. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, it shows us the degeneration or the devolution that takes place when someone rejects God despite the witness of their conscience and creation. Look at this. Romans 1, 21. Because that when they knew God, they knew there was a God. They knew there was a God, but They glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but they became vain. And the word vain means devoid of truth, empty of truth. They became vain in their imaginations. They became vain in their reasonings. When you reject the truth, you have to put something in its place. It says they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart, their empty reasonings, their mind became darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. The word fool is a translation of the Greek word where we get our word moron. We don't use that. I mean, when I was a kid, the word moron was really in big time because there was a whole series of jokes about morons. You've heard them. If you've been around long enough, why did the moron throw his pants out the window? Now, this is an old one, and when I grew up, it made sense, but it might not make sense to you, because he heard the boy downstairs yelling, "Free press! Free press!" Okay, why'd the moron throw the butter out the window? Wanted to see a butterfly? Okay. All right. Well, we'll get off of that. They said, come on, preacher. You are old. But anyway. Okay. But that's the Greek word underlying that. It's moranino, or where we get our word moron. And what it means is that someone who is ignorant. What happened was is they went from having a rational mind to being irrational morons. They rejected the truth and went to stuff stupider than the jokes that I just told you. Something more stupid than that. And what a great tragedy. Spiritual degeneration, spiritual devolution starts when a person refuses to acknowledge God's claim on his or her life. And then they rebel by refusing to glorify God and will express no gratitude to God. You know, when you figure it out, basically everything that we have, we owe to God. It's by God's grace that we take our next breath, right? It's by God's grace that this thing, your heart here, does not stop just like that. God gives you the help to have the job to earn the money. Well, then the next step downward, you go from intelligence to ignorance, but then you go from ignorance to idolatry. I want you to look at Romans chapter 1, verse 23, and then verse 25. I'm going to read 23 and then skip down to 25. It says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like a corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God created man in such a way so that he would not be satisfied unless he worships. Now, God created man to worship and fellowship him. You know, man is incurably religious because there is, as one of the philosophers said, and I agree, there's a God-shaped vacuum, as it were, in our minds. It says God has set eternity in our hearts that we might, apply our hearts to wisdom. In other words, we're trying to fill that vacuum and find out what to worship. Well, when anybody rejects the God of the Bible and refuses to worship him, that leaves a vacuum in their life that will be filled by some variety of idolatry. You know, let me just tell you, a lot of Americans, you know what they worship? I said idolatry, yeah. They worship themselves. That's called humanism. That's pretty scary. You know, we're all pretty frail, and if that's what you worship. But then there are people, it is true, that worship bugs and beasts and that worship. You got a bunch of people. I've got videotape footage. I've got hours of videotape footage of pagans, and they're worshiping the moon, and they're worshiping nature. And then underneath all of that, years ago, I warned you about the truth about trolls. You know, they made those little troll dolls. You know what trolls, troll dolls? People who worship nature, many of them worship trolls because they believe that trolls have the dominion over the earth. They believe that the earth belongs to the trolls. And you laugh, but that's true. The people who are serious, people who have PhDs, a number of them who teach yet in Madison. You know, and it's not just that, but Romans 1:23, it says, and they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. And birds. And four-footed beasts. And creeping things. Can you imagine worshiping a roach? Well, that's basically what the Egyptians did. They worshipped the scarab beetle. It's like a fat roach. And do you know what? I have pictures of altars yet today where people are still worshipping scarabs and all kinds of other things. And they're serious about it. As serious as we are about worshipping God, they're serious about that as well. Do you see the degeneration? Unfortunately, it talks about here, it says, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. The word uncorruptible means it does not decay or it is immortal. We sing the song, immortal, invisible, God only wise. Hey, I love worshiping that kind of God. But there's an increasing number of people who worship corruptible things, things that decay, things that are mortal, things that rot, things that die. Decaying, rotting. Oh, man, I don't want to think about that. You know, the glory of an immortal God is traded for the likeness of all kinds of things. The infallible is traded for The infallible is traded for that which is fallible. Truth is exchanged for lies. Romans 1:25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature, worshipped and served the creature. That's you and me. That's humanism. That basically all that stuff is to serve your own self. Worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed of God forever. I still can't get it out of my mind, and I've told the story before, but again, when we were missionaries to Haiti, it took me a while to understand what these beautiful little white, and some of them were brightly colored, monuments were in the yards of many people. I thought, man, that's strange. Those are pretty. I wonder what they're there for. Until I saw an abandoned house and one of these things had the end broken off of it. And you know what I saw in there? Bones. Gives a whole new meaning to what Jesus said. They're like whited sepulchers that are inside full of dead men's bones. But you know, they were animistic. You know what they did? They worshiped their relatives. You know what? They worship relatives in China, people who aren't Christians. They worship relatives in Japan. They worship relatives in many of the pagan tribes, in the tribes that Randy ministered to before many of them turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. They worship their relatives, their dead relatives. Man, oh man. You look at that and, ooh, I'm going to get nasty now. They even do that in the Roman Catholic Church, friends. Just go in and ask them where the relic is. I always do that. And they wonder about Protestants. And I'm not even a Protestant, but they think you're Protestants. They lump the Baptists in with the Protestants. And I was there and we went into where Polycarp had been martyred in Turkey. And I went in and said to the nun who was giving us the tour, I said, "Where's the relic?" She looked at me and she said, "What?" I said, "Where's the relic?" And so she trots me back there into the little room and opens this little box, and there is a quarter-size piece of a skull, they say, of St. Polycarp, and she's going like this, and I'm going like this. I'll tell you, that's where our culture is heading today. We are seeing this change and the resulting problems that come with it come into our culture as we see a revival of worship of ancient gods and goddesses and a proliferation of weird and bizarre religions. Have you looked at the... Have you driven down Howell Avenue and seen the Sikh temple down there? Or on 13th Street, you see the mosque, and it's not uncommon in Oak Creek on visitation to see people with turbans and all that kind of stuff. You know, in America, I'll tell you what, we're seeing before our very eyes people who reject the Lord God of the Bible, their Creator. And millions of people are seeking their wisdom from other places. Horoscopes and psychics and all that sort of things. James tells us in 1:5, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." So we see the downward spiral. The next step downward is from idolatry to immorality. When you reject God, and when you begin to get yourself all involved in humanism and idolatry, the next step down is immorality. We see in Romans 1:24, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." We believe as Christians that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's what the Bible says. And we need to glorify God in our bodies and our minds. And what happens when people don't glorify God with their bodies and they reject that? Well, they begin dishonoring their bodies. You got the proliferation of drinking, the proliferation of drugs, all kinds of bodily mutilations and all those type of things. But what's even worse, we see in Romans 1:26-28, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections." That's and I want to, you know what? America is right here at the bottom of the barrel now. There's no place, there's no further down. You look at them changing the truth of God for lies, and they worship and serve the creature, and then God gives them over to vile affections. And then look at that. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise their men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense for their error, which was right, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Let me just tell you something. I believe based on this passage of Scripture, there is not such a thing as somebody being born a homosexual. But I do believe that when somebody rejects God and turns their own way, that it does change their mind. Their mind becomes dyed a different color, and they have then, as they turned away from God and reject God, then they do. It does alter your mind when you begin to involve yourself in that immoral lifestyle. I want you to note that sexual activity in focus here is characterized by vile affection. And what activity is that? It is sexual activity of women with women and men with men. Biblically, people who participate in vile sexuality are called sodomites. Culturally, they are called homosexuals. And popular, they are called gays and lesbians. And many, many, many corporations and political parties, even Republicans, log cabin Republicans, even Republicans are soliciting support from homosexuals and lesbians. You say, Pastor, well, let's call it what God calls it. He calls it perversion. They're promoting this as an alternate lifestyle, pushing it in many of the schools, and people who speak out against the sodomite sex are called homophobic. Let me just tell you something. I'm not homophobic, but I am theophobic. And what is theophobic? Theo means God. And we are to fear God. And God calls this vile. It's not to be portrayed as normal. Sodomite sex is not normal. It's not natural. We need to call sodomite sex what the Bible calls it. Here it is. You can look it up yourself. I'm not going to turn to each passage. It's called dishonoring their bodies. It's called vile affection. It's called against nature. It's called burning their lust. It's called working that which is unseemly. It's called a reprobate mind. It's called abomination in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. It's called wicked in Genesis 13. They're called filthy dreamers in Jude. And they're called effeminate and abusers of themselves in 1 Corinthians. You know, as I just mentioned, I want you to know something. I'm theophobic, not homophobic. That is, I fear God. Therefore, I will call sodomite sex what God called it: vile, lust inflamed, wicked, filthy, unnatural, unseemly, an abomination, and reprobate sex. Every Christian who loves the Lord must hate evil. Psalm 97:10 says, ye that love God, hate evil. Now, while we are to hate the sin of the sodomite, we are not to hate the sinner. Let me go on record of that. You're not to hate the sinner. What are you supposed to do? You're trying to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're praying for them. We're to pray for their salvation. And know this. When a sodomite gets genuinely saved, he or she is forgiven and set free from that sin. And how do I know that? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate. That is one type of homosexual, abusers of themselves with mankind, another type of homosexual. Nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkard, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 11. And such, what's the next word? Were. That's past tense, some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. That's the reason One of the reasons, number two, is it's not theologically correct, but that's why we don't sing Marcia Stevens' song, "For Those Tears I Died." She is a practicing lesbian on her second partner who lauds her perverse sexuality on her website. And because I have an article up on my website, I've been even threatened to be sued by somebody from hers. And I said, go at it, because you can't sue me for telling the truth. And they never followed through on it, but that's why we don't sing "For Those Tears I Died." And when Bill Gaither took his picture with her and said that he was worried about the fundamentalists who were so judgmental, hey, I'm just calling what is called in the scriptures. And so that's why we don't sing the Gaither songs at First Baptist Church. I know some of them are very appreciated and very liked, but friends, I don't want to give somebody the idea that this type of a lifestyle is acceptable to God when it's not. And you say, well, how would you know? I know because I have a family member who was in it for years but got saved and has turned from that lifestyle and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, unfortunately, I'm out of time. I should have started this last week. 23 things God rejectors are full of. How much more degenerate can the society get? You can't. And that's why I want us to be salt and light. I don't want you to hate the sinner. I want you to try and witness to them. And, you know, I've gone down to Pride Fest, and I took "Have You Considered Life's Most Important Question?" and I was handing them out and putting them on cars, and I had a sodomite following me and taking them off of cars. I looked back, and he was taking them off of cars, and I went back. I said, well, if you're going to take those off of cars, just give those back to me. I'm not giving you those back. I says, this doesn't say anything negative about homosexuality, but what it points you to is the need of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want any of that. Well, that was obvious. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I went over to the soccer field where they were playing their soccer and stood along the sidelines. And when they would come over for a drink of their water or something, I'd give them a gospel tract. I did have a couple of people take that, but most of them said, oh, no, we don't want any of that stuff. You know what? Sinners love darkness rather than light because their deeds are what? Evil. They don't want the light exposed. That's why they want you to endorse their lifestyle. That's why they want to make laws to force us to endorse their lifestyle. That's why they want to make saying that it's sin a hate crime. Man, I don't hate them. I want them to be saved, and I want them to repent of their S-I-N. But you're not going to do any good by saying, oh, let's go around and beat them up. Show me that in the Bible. You can speak out against their sin and any other sin, but you're not to take matters into your own hands. But what are those reject God full of? Well, I give you the 23 things, but we're out of time. Unrighteousness, fornication, and I explain what they are. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And you know what? You start reading those things and measuring our culture, American culture, and see if you don't see these things becoming more and more and more and more and more and more and more of a problem in our culture. Why? Because that when they knew God, what? They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. I want you to hate sin, but I want you to be diligent to witness to the sinners, because guess what? I was a sinner. Still am a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a family member who was involved in the vileness of homosexuality. The family member got saved, gloriously saved, and rejects and speaks out against that lifestyle yet today. What made the difference? Jesus Christ and salvation by grace through faith in Him. Hey, doesn't knowing Jesus Christ change you? Amen. Hasn't it changed you and your behavior? Well, amen, it should have. And if it doesn't, you better talk to Him about it. But friends, we live in a wicked and perverse nation.